I have two bits of good news, and I will give you a choice between two difficult things. First bit of good news, after the service this morning, there is free food. Please do not hesitate to stay and enjoy that with us. The other good news is next week, Russ is returning. That is very good news. The difficult choice that I ask you to make this morning is this. Let me ask it to you this way. How many of you are aware of the phrase, out of the frying pan into the fire? Okay? Your choice. This morning's message I've entitled The Refining Influences of a Mysterious God. This morning is of great importance because we are seeking as the church, as it were, to come out of the world and to consider those things that are eternal. Out of this world. Out of the frying pan. A world which is hostile toward God. A world which is moving in a different direction than God desires. A world which is seeking to influence you any and every way that it can. You live in that world, do you not? A world which is seeking to communicate by TV, billboards, magazines, radio, educational system, its philosophy as to where you should go, what you should buy, and most importantly, how you should think. A world which is changing fast. Those of you who are older remember the pace of life. Bluebell ice cream, old time lemonade, sitting on the porch swing, watching the garden grow. Those days are no more. Those of you who are middle aged have had the conveniences of the industrial society, and we have stuff. We have stuff. Convenient, thankful for air conditioning. Most of us would not be in Florida without it. So benefits from what our culture and society has provided in its technological advances. Younger folks, you don't have a chance. Several series ago, when I asked how many people would like to return to their teenage years, there were no takers. For life is fast and furious, inundated with technological gadgets and communication. Ride your bicycle, listen to your headphone, and text. Watch them. Watch them go. Okay? I think I'll just sit on this porch swing, eat my Bluebell ice cream, and drink my old-time lemonade. The problem is, it appears as though, to the degree of what we so call progress, is to the degree that we are digressing in our knowledge of God. The products of our culture have ensnared us. The values of our culture have left us bankrupt. The products of our culture. Man's life does not consist in the abundance that he has. One good possible outcome of the economic downturn, it will hopefully will slap us out of the stupidity of consumerism. We mortgage our houses to buy more stuff. We swipe our credit card because it was on sale. The world that we live in, teaching us how to think, but we are the church gathered. The culture and its values, what once used to be displayed in society, activities and actions and habits were once based upon biblical truth. But as Francis Schaeffer describes it, in the term cut flower values, there was a time when biblical truth was severed from our consideration, and we lived in a culture that kept its form and fragrance for a while, but it's cut flower. So that now we no longer have a connection to biblical truth, and our culture is in decay. We realize that we can never really come out of the world as long as we live in these bodies. We were born in it, and by nature, it is within us. But God, in His grace, has renewed those who are His, and the heat begins. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Jesus said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you preserve them in the world. And that's where you, as His child, reside today. The scripture says for us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so as the church gathered this morning, we desire to probe the mysteries of the kingdom of God while we live amidst this world. We have a problem because we are fallen and unable to perceive spiritual things. Scripture says the natural man perceives not the things of the Spirit. They are spiritually discerned. So unless you are born from above, your eyes remain closed. You are clueless, no matter how hard you try. God's Spirit has to open the eyes of our heart to perceive the eternal, the reality, that which is. Those who've had their eyes opened still are limited. We are finite. We are fallen. We are frail. My thinker can't think that hard because I live in this body and I have limitations. It is absolutely essential that the scriptures are our basis to perceiving the eternal while we live in this chaotic world. Left to our own reasoning, we realize that we all come from different backgrounds and experiences, that we all are at different stages or seasons in our lives, that we all have different personalities and temperaments and makeup, which affect our perception. Some of you are wide-eyed, ready to go. Some of you walk around with rose-colored glasses. Everything's good. Some of us constantly wear double-shaded sunglasses, and our perception is darkened by our makeup, our personality, our perception. But we've all developed to this point a basic perception or filter or philosophy by which and through which we process the experiences of life. Something happens, okay, and you process that through your perception of reality that you know to that point. And so we develop a basic belief system or a worldview. Just as it is wise to prepare before hurricane season, so it is wise that we prepare our lives before those storms come, that we think properly, that we know what is, so that when what comes, we can remain standing. As the church gathers, we are seeking to establish ourselves in that which is true. And truth is that which matches ultimate reality. And unless you have the scriptures, you will never perceive what ultimate reality is, for you do not have that ability. And so it is essential, since we live in a world that is changing, a world that is seeking to influence your thinking process as to what's important and as to what is, that we come to the scriptures to discern error and to enable us to stand against the storms which will invade your life. As we gather, we acknowledge that for some, things are going pretty good. Good for you. This too will change. For some, you have concerns and issues that you're dealing with. And as a compressor kicks in, it causes you to give attention and concern and effort to manage those issues in your life. For some of you, you have had major changes in recent days, and your world will be different because of them. I think of those who have lost spouses over the last brief period of time. For some of you, you are currently facing growing challenges, and how you're thinking about them will ultimately form the direction of your life. It's understood that when things are going okay, there's not really a need to overthink life. Okay? There's plenty of time for that. When things need attention, you manage them, you discern wisdom from the scriptures, and you apply yourself to it. It is when the whirlwind totally devastates your life. It is then that you need that anchor which holds your soul. It is when we are unable to understand or process the experiences of our lives that our belief system or worldview is challenged. When we find ourselves in an all-out assault, that we begin to pay attention. We then begin to perceive the realm which is above this one, to give us answers to what we're experiencing. It is then that we begin to perceive that which is eternal. It is then that we perceive or seek to perceive that which is true. Despite what our human experience is yelling at us and what the world is telling you, it is then that we are forced out of the frying pan into the fire. This is a crucible, and the flame is applied. This, from the surface, this from underneath. So I give you a choice: frying pan or fire? Are you going to stay in the frying pan, or are you going to be pressed to transfer? But it's fire. This morning, for our time together, I would like for us to give attention to consideration of that which is eternal. Exposure to God's refining process is never easy, but it is necessary if we are to discern and prove that which is true and know that we are being conformed to His image. In order to accomplish that, we must turn to the Word. For the Word is eternal, and the Word is true. May God enable us to perceive correctly the things of His kingdom so that we can enjoy the good times, manage the challenging, and survive the times of calamity. We all need tutors to aid us in our learning. So this morning I have chosen three individuals, and I've just taken a snapshot of their lives so that we can observe and they can aid us as to their experience in life and their desire for the eternal, to know this mysterious God who is refining His people. The first man that I chose for the category of managing the chaos of life. Okay? You know, I'm president of creating the chaos. But this man managed the tremendous onslaught of chaos which blindsided him. Some of you have had those experiences. A man who possessed an incredible view of the eternal. He experienced unbelievable onslaughts, but a man who humbled himself, and when the storm passed, he stood. His name was Job. Job's life, things were going pretty well. 7 sons, 3 daughters, lots of possessions and position or title as the greatest man of the East. Things went very bad very quickly. His family was lost, less his wife. There was a point there that if she would have been first to go, that would have been helpful. As you know the story, he lost his possessions, and he responded to that by ripping his clothes and shaving his head and falling down and worshiping. He worshiped despite the calamity that just wiped him out. Naked I came, and naked I will go. Blessed is the name of the Lord. A worldview that held in the tornado of life. Second round, his physical health with boils. His wife bailed on him because of her philosophy. curse God and die. Job's second response: shall we not accept good and also adversity? Job continued to suffer. His friends tried to aid. Job asked the question. Have you ever asked the question, why? Job asked the why questions. Why did I not die at birth? Has life ever pushed you to that point? Why did I not die at birth? Listen, logically, this makes no sense at all. This is crazy. This is of no value. Frying pan or fire? Why is light given to a man who is hidden? Why is light given to him who suffers? Why prolong this? Why is light given to a man who is hidden and whom God has hedged in? The eternal in the affairs of men hedging in. Life is tough enough all by itself. Leave me alone. I'm trying to survive, trying to preserve my own life. I don't need you against me. Frying pan or fire? Eliphaz says to Job, behold, how happy or blessed is a man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. We have the privilege in the record between Job and his friends to observe men who discerned the eternal and who applied it to the affairs of life way beyond any level that we will ever arrive at. And yet they were dealing with trying to perceive the ways of a mysterious, eternal God as it relates to the affairs of men. The interchange continued between Job and his friends and Job and God to the point where Job basically had to come to the realization that God is God. And he need not answer to the demands of men. That man is finite and cannot comprehend God. But God is involved in the affairs of men. And that though man cannot comprehend God, man is to trust him, despite what he is experiencing. So it was, Job was able to say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Darkness and light are both alike unto thee, O Lord. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall take his stand on the earth. And yet he struggled to perceive the mysterious hand of God in the refining fires of life. Behold, I go forth, but he is not there. Forward, and he is not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, and I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a tutor. What a man. What an example that we might learn from. None of us will ever reach that level, though the pain of our experiences feels like it. The second man I chose for us to briefly consider was one who desired to find meaning in life. He had possessions, he had pleasure, he had positions, a man who was given wisdom by God, a man who, in regard to finding meaning and fulfillment under the sun, concluded that all things are wearisome. Ever feel that way? Every day? Vanity of vanities. What's it all for? The writer of Ecclesiastes, or Solomon, a man who said, I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. A man who said about God, he also has set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. A man who said, consider the work of God, for who is able to straighten what he has bent? In the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider. Think about. God has made one as well as the other, so that man may not discover anything that will be done after him. Frustrating, isn't it? Limited for a purpose. For a purpose. And so he concludes, a man, for man to fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to everyone. The third man that I choose for us to consider is in regard to ministry challenges. You have the managing of the chaos of life. You have the effort to find meaning in life. And then you have the challenges of ministry. Why doesn't God leave us alone? We're in the ministry. A man whose writings helps us perceive correctly the mysteries of the kingdom of God. A man who helped reveal how we are to live in relationship to Christ. A man who, according to God's purposes, was designed to suffer for the gospel's sake. A man who received a ministry but was given a thorn in the flesh. Why? Why? It does no good. It makes no sense. Or does it? A man who believed God to fulfill his purposes despite the hardships that he experienced, even as a minister. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, I'll be reading the entire chapter 4, when it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested through our mortal flesh. We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested through our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believe, therefore I spoke." We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though the outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction. Doesn't feel that way, does it? Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see the process? Do you see the purpose? Frying pan or fire? God has made known his mysteries through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the efforts of Paul in writing them, so that we might discern what is eternal and how to live in relationship to him. God has allowed difficulties for the purpose of transforming. Do you have any? How are you responding to them? God desires for his people to believe him, to accomplish his purposes in our chaos. That's way beyond what I can do. There's no way. It makes no sense. It's crazy. I want a God that the world says will give you everything you need when you want it, in abundance, all the time, forevermore a while. Okay. It's the world we live in and the religious philosophy it's promoted, but that's not the mysterious eternal God. Here it is. Fire. so that that which is eternal may be manifested in that which is mortal. That's God transforming. That's not three steps and you got it, four secrets and you're there. No, that's rendering of the heart, where we are forced to face the eternal in the midst of agony and heartache in this world. It is the pressing of the grapes which brings forth the wine. It is the crushing of the flower that brings forth the perfume. It is the heat of the furnace which brings forth the pure gold. And it is the sovereign, mysterious God which tests the hearts of men to bring them forth. How are you responding to the heat? We feel the tension when we find ourselves enslaved and entangled in the affairs of this world. We feel the pain of our finiteness when we hear the call of the eternal. We feel the struggle to preserve our castles in the sand against the crashing waves of eternity. We feel uncomfortable when we imbibe ourselves in the pleasures of this world and find our souls empty, empty. God has a greater purpose than you can ever perceive. And God has a plan to purify your life. The question is, are you believing him? Or is your perception that God might not quite have the ability to fix what you're feeling? Yeah, he's good and, you know, it'll work out. Divine design, especially for you. Will you have the faith to believe him, that he is sovereign, that he has the ability to make all grace abound to you in your situation? Will you trust him? To let it be. To let the heat remain for purification. If God is sovereign, and he is, and if God seeks to conform his children to his image, and he does it not behoove us to believe him? The writer of Hebrews sought to encourage his readers by using the example of the Israelites who came out of Egypt and who were in the desert, but were promised the land. God's activity greatly worked on their behalf, and his purpose was wonderful. But they didn't like the process. And they chose not to believe the God who delivered them to be able to get them there because of this. Okay. God give me. Give me now. We're thirsty. We're hungry. Okay. Onions and leeks were better than this. And so they were unable to enter because of disobedience, because of unbelief. And then he goes on to encourage his readers that since a promise remains of entering the Sabbath rest of the people of God, let us be diligent to enter that rest Let us believe God. For when we believe that God is sovereign, big enough to handle the chaos that we're in, we can rest in his divine design. It's okay for you not to take it away, and it's okay for you to increase it. Because it's not my life, it's yours. So conform me to your image. Yes, I would like my circumstances to change. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to make them change. But when the eternal touches the affairs of men and you can't change it, how do you respond to it? Do you kick against the loins? Or do you embrace the care of a loving father who is disciplining those who are his so that they can be what he's designed them to be? He goes on and shows us in chapter 11 of Hebrews the heroes of faith, those through history who in turmoil and chaos and difficulty perceived the eternal and made decisions in faith in the midst of difficulty. And they all lived happily ever after. Now, Hebrews says that God worked mightily and he delivered and he did this and he did that, and for some. For others, they continued in the fire for life. For life. Whoa. No, it's okay. A little heat. Good boy. Golden star. No. To live life by faith your entire life despite what whirlwind upsets your life. Others were destitute and delivered over to death, for they perceived the eternal, and they were not willing to substitute a temporal fix, but rather pay the price of being refined no matter the outcome. The question is this morning, are you in the frying pan? We can't get out until we leave these bodies. But is that safer than that? You're creating and making your own little world for protecting your sandcastle when the waves of eternity are crashing on the shore. Frying pan or fire? Each man knows his own heartache. And if you feel it, it is real to you. So whatever degree that is, it is very real, and God is able to meet you there. Will you believe him in your life? In the affairs of your life, to be who he is, the eternal, sovereign, all-powerful God? For if you do believe, there will be a process of transformation in your character, and he will bring you forth as gold. Let's pray. Our Father, who is able to manage the affairs of this world? Who is able to understand the eternal in the affairs of men? We confess that we cannot, but in faith we believe you to be big enough to handle our chaos, to know enough of what we're in the midst of, and to care enough to choose to do in our lives what is best for us and for the eternal purposes of yourself. Oh God, help us not to wander in the desert, but to believe and allow you to bring us to the land, the Sabbath rest of the people of God, even as we remain in this world. Do your gracious work in our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn your